Would you guys pray with me before we start? Father, I praise you. I praise you for these voices, and I know you are smiling. God, I praise you that those you have sent have a heart to hear you, to lift their voices, God, to not hide their light. Father, I pray for your anointing. Without it, this will be a dead work. Father, I pray that you would give me your mind and your heart, your words. Let it be nothing else. Father, give clarity. Open our ears so we might hear. Holy Spirit, come and reign. You are the revealer of truth. Breathe on your word. In the name of Jesus, amen. You know, I guess it was a few weeks ago, might have been a month, when the Lord had given me the word for tonight. I was really thrilled with looking for another speaker. I was already praying about that, actually. And I was walking to my, I have a little prayer closet in my cemetery that I go to, and the Lord said, talk about the cost of following me. And this morning I was thinking about it because God has given me so much word, and listen, there are Bibles here. If anybody needs one and you would like one, please feel free to come get it. There's a lot of word to go through tonight. And I just pray God keeps me on his track and not my own. When I think about following Christ and the cost of following Jesus, I was thinking about the Bible characters that you and I talk about a lot. And I was thinking about David, how he spent a lot of his time running from people who were trying to murder him. Matter of fact, he was invited into the palace, was he not, to play a harp by the one who ended up wanting to murder him. Then I think about Esther, an orphan girl, who ends up in a palace having to speak a word to save her people at a very untimely time that could have cost her life. Then I thought about Jeremiah, as we call him the weeping prophet, sent to tell a people that will never hear. Then I thought about Jonah. And I had to raise my hand. Who was sent to a people he didn't want to go to a place he didn't want to go. And he tried to run, ended up in another place he didn't want to be. Then he went to the place he didn't want to be. The people listened and he was still mad. Then I thought of Daniel in the lion's den. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who wouldn't bow, thrown in the fire, but the blessing was the fourth man. And so now I want to know, do we understand the cost of following Jesus? Matthew 16, verse 24. And Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man will come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he will reward each according to his works. When the Lord gave me this message, and while that's one of the scriptures that he tugged my heart with, the words jump out at me, deny yourself. And over a period of a few hours, he gave me pretty much this entire message in a poem. And that's where I want to start. The way God is with me, when he writes songs with me, or he gives me poetry, is he'll usually give it to me first, and then he'll give me the scriptures later. There is a cost that you must count. One forgotten, few talk about. To live by dying a painful death, that we shall not go back instead. The cost very well will cost you alone. Where friends may fade, you may lose your home. Where blessings, they come but wrapped in a way that pierces through skin, leaving lifelong stains. The cost itself should bring anguish of heart for the lost of the world and those who think they are not. Betrayal will become a recognized sting, and you will be overlooked for the world's grander things. Is this mere surprise? For Jesus told it forth. They looked for a king of worldly sorts, missing the one who sat on a throne, who came to this earth to serve the unknown. The cost at times will crush as you bear. It will take you to the brink of utter despair. It will ask you to leave all you've known behind, to follow the path of the great Adonai. There will be roads narrow to walk. You'll listen to deceit and lots of cheap talk. For this road, it will swallow what needs to be gone. You will have to choose between what's right and what's wrong. What beauty his hands can mold in this hour if we will submit to the pruning of flowers. For growth cannot happen without cutting away all that is useless on the narrow way. What you thought to be may really not be, so lay your plans down and offer to thee. All that is in you is for more than you. Your plans and purpose is for the multitudes. The cost will cost you all of yourself. Self is no longer once you have knelt. Destinies and callings by providential design, if used for yourself, then you are blind. See, Satan is waiting with his kingdom keys. Shall you reach out and take one of these? You may well forfeit your promised land. So learn to be fed by only one hand. Little things are big things, so think not it small to sow into things not pleasing at all. For he's a holy God who judges thee fair. So tell me today what we watch, hear, and where. His heart for the church is one of pure love, but he's quite heartbroken at the lack thereof. For ritual and position have taken the place of loving thy neighbor and keeping them safe. Our eyes, they are focused on selfish gain when washing feet is how Jesus spent his days. From town to town, he went where they were, spent little time in the walls of a church. He always chose to go for the one, leaving the flock to reach the undone, speaking the love that lifted their heads and offering royal seats instead. warning against temptation of greed, money, fame, position, prestige, that we might not fall to idolatry, but to freedom with Christ to our destiny. So now, can we take an inward look? Can you and I say we're off the hook? For I am guilty of many of all. So I will be first to repent of it all. Can we lay down our lives in control? My life, your life, it's no longer our own. For there was a day he hung on a cross when he was quite able to call the whole thing off. Yet when he prayed, "Please remove this cup," he surrendered to the will of his Father above, praying until his tears turned to blood. So tell me, what is the cost of this kind of love? Sacrifice is what comes to mind, right? What is your cross to bear? I love Nettie shared her testimony, and so important for each of us because the Word says we're saved by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. And we must go share it and be willing. The Lord took me through each part of this poem the last week or so and just began highlighting in the Word what he meant. And so I want to take you through those passages along with some testimony as well. Matthew 19, verses 16 through 26. Passage we're probably all familiar with. However, today it seems just so much more real. "Now behold, one came and said to him, 'Good teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life?' So he said to him, 'Why do you call me good? No one is good, not only one. That is God. But if you want to enter into life, keep the commandments.' He said to him, 'Which ones?' And Jesus said, 'You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. Honor your father and your mother. And you shall love your neighbor as yourself.' The young man said to him, 'All these things I've kept from my youth. What do I still lack?' And Jesus said to him, 'If you want to be perfect, go sell what you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come follow me.' But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions." One cost to following Jesus could be wealth and possessions. Several years ago, I worked for a company called Berkeley Heart Lab. It was a company that I spent 10 years of my life at. It was a medical company out of San Francisco. And it was a really good paying job. I spent those 10 years under some gentlemen who were Jewish people, not believers. And at the time I took the job, I didn't know the Lord. I thought I did. I called myself a Christian, but I had no relationship. So in that season of life, I did not know the Lord. When I was 30, because some of you in here don't know me, I had a baby boy, and about 4 months after I had him, I lost my mind for a season. The only sanity I could tell you was I heard the voice of Jesus for the first time, and I was saved. But that was after a lifetime of thinking I was saved. I'd walked the aisle of a church, but I was not a new creation. There was no personal relationship with Christ. I did what I was supposed to do. Mama was a Christian, so I was too. Was there anything else to be? And after I found the Lord, just my eyes began to change. My goal in life then was to make $100,000 a year. That was my goal. Some years later, after getting in the ministry and still hanging in with the company, the Lord asked me to resign. And I was one of two women running sales teams. God had given me much favor with the people. And although they didn't have the same belief I had, they would listen to me. And I'll never forget, because I said, Lord, if you want me to resign, then could you use that word so I'll know for sure? And I got in the car and I went to Dairy Queen and turned the radio on. And I don't even remember what preacher it was, but he said, when I resign from my job, and I want to tell y'all too, before I go further, that God has called me to real transparency tonight. Okay? And so I pray you love me anyway. Apart from him, I've got nothing good to give you. The day I resigned, my boss, who was like a grandfather to me, did do everything he could to make me stay. And they offered me what I would consider a very handsome amount of money, far surpassing what my goal in life was. But I had a choice to make. Would I obey the Lord? Or would I be like the rich young ruler? And so I declined the offer, and the Lord blessed me with an opportunity on a phone call to share why I was leaving, that I was following Jesus, that he had plans for me. And the people on that phone call were atheists and Buddhists and Jewish. And so when I left the truth with them. That was a big sacrifice, but one worth making. So I go from that kind of lifestyle, and just to share with you about our place here and God's mercy and grace, and how I don't think, Lisa, when you had the girls paint the pictures, blessings, obedience brings blessings, disobedience brings pain, what that would mean to me personally. During the summer, God called us to offer a free club for girls, and so we had no income at all, right? But every day I had the bills on my desk with the date they were due. And I would just put my hands on them and go, Lord, this is your debt. And these are your girls. And I'd go to the P.O. box and it'd be $40 and the bill would be $38. You know? Or the rent was due and it was $1,500 and we had nothing. You know? And it was the first of the month, the bill was due, and we didn't have it. And I went to the P.O. box and the money was in the P.O. box. So God is faithful. And when we're obedient, he blesses. So I want to make sure I don't muddy some waters, and I want to make sure you understand I'm balanced in that. There's a cost to following Jesus, but there are mighty rewards. And in that is the building of our faith and our trust. Where he says the cost itself she'll bring anguish of heart, and he talks about how friends may fade. I can tell you guys that early in ministry, God changed my circle of friends, and he has probably done it 3 or 4 times since. I have since learned that when seasons change, people change. In Genesis chapter 12, verse 1, now the Lord had said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you, and I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great. And you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. He had to leave his family, his country, his people. And y'all, he was going to a place he didn't even know where it was yet. Anybody feel like that? Verse 4, so Abram departed as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him, and Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. In chapter 13, verse 5, Lot also, who went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents. Now that the land was not able to support them, that they might dwell together, for their possessions were so great that they could not dwell together. And there was strife between the herdsmen of Abram's livestock and the herdsmen of Lot's livestock. Verse 8, so Abram said to Lot, please let there be no strife between you and me and between my herdsmen and your herdsmen, for we are brethren. Is not the whole land before you? Please separate from me. If you take the left, then I will go to the right, or if you go to the right, then I will go to the left. Later, you'll see that they separated from each other. I was watching a video about this the other day, and it really struck me because Abraham's blessing came after he separated from Lot. And I thought of the times in ministry, in life, where I just hang on when it's time to separate. That not everybody will go with you in your season. You hear me? Some will not want to go, and some flat can't go. And that's okay. You might go alone, but you still must go. The cost at times will crush as you bear. It will take you to the brink of utter despair. It will ask you to leave all you've known behind to follow the path of the great Adonai. Adonai means Lord, Master. How fitting for him to put it in the poem. What is a master, an owner? Sovereign ruler, the authority and exalted position of God. Is he the authority of your life, my life? Do I maintain any authority? Because what I'm learning in this season is there are things I want to do that are not his choice for me. Do I love him enough to do what he wants? There will be roads narrow to walk. You'll listen to deceit and lots of cheap talk. For this road, it will swallow what needs to be gone. You will have to choose between right and wrong. You know, Matthew 7 says, I'm going to read it to y'all so I don't mess it up. Matthew 7, verse 13, we'll start there. Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many, who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. Years ago, he had me look up the definition of many and few. So many are on the broad road. Many means the multitudes, the masses. Few means hardly any, and in some places I looked, a handful. I was one of the many who thought I was saved and was not, because I followed a ritual and I did not enter into a relationship. I did not give my life to Jesus. I did not make him Lord and Master. Verse 21, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. If I were to translate that just to today's discussion, did I not teach Sunday school every time the doors opened? Was I not at church every time, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night? Maybe I've even been a deacon. He will tell some, I never knew you. He is not talking to people here who know they are not saved, y'all. He is talking to those who think they are. They will be at the door. Let me in. Let me in. And he will say, I never knew you. I'm concerned when we're in here with the girls, we've been talking about what is a Christian, and I'm almost fearful. Isn't it just sad to be fearful of that word anymore? I've started teaching them that we're followers of Jesus, because I've come to realize that I've been ministering to some on Facebook and other places who say they are Christians, yet they believe that there is more than one way to heaven. There is not. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And no one goes to the Father but by me. Through Jesus, there is no other way. I ministered to a lady who I've just prayed and prayed for. And I get her on the phone and I tell her about Jesus, and she believes in Jesus, and she believes in God. But she also believes in universalism. Whatever way you want to choose, you'll make it if you're a good person. Listen, the scriptures say none of us are good. There's one way. That is something that must be settled. If you can be swayed on that, you must settle it. I told the woman on the phone, I said, until you settle that Jesus is Lord, you will toy with this every day. You are saying prayers to people who are dead. There is one living God. What you thought to be may really not be, so lay your plans down and offer to thee. All that is in you is for more than you. Your plan and purpose is for the multitudes. When we open the studio, and this is where I get a little real here. It's kind of funny now, but it wasn't then. When we open the studio, I think our whole team, Misty, I know you're going to testify to it later. We just believe that if we're not transparent, like, who are we helping, you know? When we opened the studio, we thought, for some reason in my mind, I'm not really sure what I was thinking, our hearts were wanting to minister to women, and it still is, don't get me wrong, but God sent 5-year-olds. That's what I said. And so I'll tell you, probably if it had not been for one Irma Martin, who's not here, Shelly, that gets me so excited. You can train them when they're young. And I'm going, well, you do it. You know, and so the first one came in, and I was like, I'm sorry, we don't have classes for, and she was 4, I think. And then another one walks in. And I'm going, well, I guess we're not going to have anybody because all we have is 5-year-olds coming in, you know. Then we had 3-year-old come in, and more 5-year-olds, and I just called everybody in. I said, okay, the Lord said, let the little children come. So what are we going to do? I guess we're going to take them. And so now we have a ton of 5- and 6-year-olds, and they teach me. But let me just say this. Man makes a plan, God orders steps. And the gifts that he's placed in me and the gifts that he's placed in you are for more than yourself. I want you to look at this scripture because it's got me excited. John chapter 12, verse 24 and 25. This is, I think, like my favorite one. It says, most assuredly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain. He who loves his life will lose it, and he who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, let him follow me. And where I am, there my servant will be also. Boy, we won't turn that one around, don't we? If anyone serves me, him, my Father, will honor. I don't know what it was about this scripture that got me all riled up. But I went and looked at wheat seeds. I was like, is that true? Wheat seed die? You know, started asking all these really silly questions. And so here's the gist. And this is just so what I feel like in this season of ministry for us at the studio is. And that we better all, it's our training, because I had a heart issue. Okay. The wheat seed, much like it's like an egg. Okay. What happens is it sacrifices itself for new growth. Now, this passage of scripture is talking about Jesus, the sacrifice. But I'm pretty sure there's practical application here for you and I. Because if we don't sacrifice ourselves, like, who's going to do it for these kids? I mean, what is it in you that you're just keeping here? Because there's a lot of new growth. A lot of new growth. So in a way, it dies. But something new is created, right? It's like the new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. Little things are big things, so think not it's small to sow into things not pleasing at all. For he's a holy God who judges thee fair. So tell me today what we watch here and where. Galatians chapter 5. Verse 13. For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. Go to 16 with me. Verse 16, stay in chapter 5. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like. Of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice these things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, yes, ma'am, and self-control. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. There's something I want to camp out on here. And I didn't know it till this morning. And it's sorcery. Sorcery is witchcraft. And I think in the church we're a little afraid to talk about this. In the studio, we're seeing a whole lot of stuff come in. And God has began to show us things we had not seen. You know, the closer you get with Jesus, the pickier he gets. I've always said that, but I think that's wrong. I think it's just, he's always been that picky. Right? Because it's for our good. Everything he does is for our good. Everything. If we, this is where you love me anyway. If we are not to practice witchcraft, why is it okay to watch it? God showed me this actually a few years ago, and I've never given this message. And this is how he confirmed it with me. Because listen, I grew up on Bewitched. Okay? So I am not saying anything to you that I didn't have to look at myself. Charmed. Okay? I began noticing all the movies were vampires and angels and darkness. And then one day I walked in this CVS right down here, and I met a gentleman who was checking me out, and he said, he just seemed really different, like something wasn't right, you know? Sad, maybe? And he, as soon as I said, "How are you doing?" he said, "I'm working." And I went, "I didn't mean what you're doing, what are you doing? I meant, how are you doing?" And he began to tell me things. How he every day would shake his magic eight ball to tell him what to do that day. Listen, I had one. You know, I mean, sometimes we just don't know, right? God pierced my heart in that moment and said, "Be careful." We wrestle not with flesh and blood, y'all. We wrestle with darkness, principalities. It is real. I can tell you that I was in the bed sick for years, Nettie knows, and had things occur that were not of the Lord. Once you have encountered it, you will not play with darkness. I go and my son's watching television and I'm going, "What is up with everything is magic?" Because let's And it's not bad magic. Is there a good Satan? He cannot get us with something that's obvious. So he will get us with something that's not. He will take the same thing and usher it in looking good. The church is sold out. Obedience brings blessings, right? I had some folks walk in the door, precious people, wanting to rent the floor for some stuff. And I wasn't quite ready for things that were about to occur. And so this one I'm fixing to share with you might step on some toes. I'm just going to tell you up front. Because I didn't know either. 3 times somebody came in wanting to do Zumba in here. Zumba's done at many churches. I had a video on it myself. Looked like fun. Not really studied it. And as this girl, precious girl, was talking to me, something in my spirit just was said, research. Study to show yourself approved. Listen, we can no longer, if you don't know what something means, go find out what it means. I went and I studied it. Because the thing that clued me in was I said, we really just do Jesus music in the house. Can you accommodate that? And she said, no, honestly, I don't even know what most of the music says. And that was another check in my spirit. I never found out what the lyrics said, but I can tell you all the moves I looked at were so far from godly, it was enough to convince me not to do it. Yoga would be another one. I researched the root of that thing and Zumba, and it was pagan worship. Dancing for other gods. And listen, I have grace and mercy here, y'all, because sometimes we just don't know. Sometimes we just don't know. I could have paid the rent easily. Had I allowed that, it would have packed this house. But God is worthy. Warning against temptation of greed, money, fame, position, prestige, that we might not fall to idolatry, but to freedom with Christ to our destiny. And isn't it just true that all the things we're talking about takes us to a more freeing place? I mean, do we want to hang on to it? Or do we want to really be free? There's a poem I ran across that I did not write, but I thought it was beautiful because sometimes we look at big sins and we forget to check ourselves on the little stuff. And sometimes, just like Saul and David, a little jealousy creeps in at other people's gifts or talents or longing to be like them or whatever. And I thought this was precious because I thought, boy, what a hard prayer to pray. But this is sacrifice, the cost of following Jesus. This is where we have submitted to the great Adonai. It says, O Jesus, meek and humble of heart, hear me. From the desire of being esteemed, deliver me. From the desire of being loved. From the desire of being extolled. From the desire of being honored. From the desire of being praised. From the desire of being preferred to others. From the desire of being consulted. From the desire of being approved. From the fear of being humiliated, deliver me. Anybody else? From the fear of being despised. From the fear of suffering rebukes. From the fear of being forgotten. From the fear of being ridiculed. From the fear of being wronged. From the fear of being suspected. That others may be loved more than I. Jesus, grant me the grace to desire it. That others may be esteemed more than I. That in the opinion of the world, others may increase and I may decrease. That others may be chosen and I set aside. That others may be praised and I unnoticed. That others may be preferred to me in everything. That others may become holier than I. Provided that I may become as holy as I should. Anybody but me. These things, at its root is pride. Whether I'm approved or not only matters to one. Right, Gina? I'm going to close with you guys on a... I thought it was so fitting. Today is September 21st, correct? This is my streams in the desert. Then Missy's going to get up and share. It says, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord. This is the happy season of ripening cornfields, of the merry song of the reapers, of the secured and garnered grain. But let me hearken to the sermon of the field. This is its solemn word to me. You must die in order to live. You must refuse to consult your own ease and well-being. You must be crucified. Not only in desires and habits which are sinful, but in many more which appear innocent and right. If you would save others, you cannot save yourself. If you would bear much fruit, you must be buried in darkness and solitude. My heart fails me as I listen, but when Jesus asks it, let me tell myself that it is my high dignity to enter into the fellowship of his sufferings. And thus I am in the best of company. And let me tell myself again that it is all meant to make me a vessel meet for his use. His own Calvary has blossomed into fertility, and so shall mine. Plenty out of pain, life out of death, is it not the law of the kingdom? Do we call it dying when the bud bursts into a flower? Finding, following, keeping, struggling, is he sure to bless? Saints, apostles, prophets, martyrs? The answer is yes. Count the cost of following Jesus. The old must be left there, and the new must come forward. Little things are big things. On our way to destiny, all the rest has to stay, lest we stop short. Do you want this much of it, or do you want all he has? It is our choice, because he sits up there like this. Wait to pour it.